Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So good to have a band here and professional musicians to usher in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Ron and Gary and James and Piero and my good friend Richard. So I have an exciting word for you today. Are you ready to hear it? Amen. I've been thinking about it all week long, meditating, letting it percolate in my heart, my mind. When I wake up, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say that. Lord, would you back me up? Amen. So let's pray that he will back me up. Father, thank you for bringing us together today to hear your word. I thank you that, Lord, you just enriched my heart and my mouth to speak your words to edify your people. In Jesus' name, amen. I am so glad to see you. You know, every one of you is in my heart. I know your lives, and I pray for you and with you and watch you go through life so that you can be victorious. I like to walk alongside of you just like the Holy Spirit does. And the things that I have and what I've accomplished or seen God do, I like to share them with you all so that you can be victorious in all your life. It's not good to be a defeated Christian. It's not fun, and it's not becoming to him because he overcomes in every situation that he's facing. Isn't that so? So we have to learn, Lord, how do you do this? Direct us, show us how to get the victory in our lives. We're going to talk about, for this month, leading up to Easter service, how to walk or how to see Jesus. Don't we all want to see Jesus? Yeah. Isn't that the goal, you know? Some people say, oh, you're just trying to act like Jesus. Well, that's the idea, isn't it? You know? Praise the Lord. So we want to see Jesus. And this scripture came to light. You know, I pray a lot, and, you know, my family says, well, what's going to be the March series? I go, I don't know. It's only February. And so I have to think, dig down deep. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to speak on? And this little scripture came to my mind. We want to see Jesus. And it comes from John chapter 12, verse 20 and 21. It says, now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, sir, we want to see Jesus. Now, just a little history here. These guys were Gentiles. They were Greeks. They came up for the Passover. This is 1 week before Jesus was going to be crucified. And they knew about all the miracles that Jesus had done, you know, the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear. And they had seen or heard that Lazarus was risen from the dead. Then they see all these thousands of people lining the streets as he came into Jerusalem. And they said, we want to talk to this guy. Can you get us an audience? We want to speak to him privately. But Jesus said, you know, my hour has now come. I must be planted into the ground so that many more fruit may come, many more Christians. So it doesn't really say that he talked with them. But we can talk to Jesus anytime we want. We're not restricted. He said, come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How many of you need mercy before you come? Well, Lord, forgive me. I'm coming in boldly, confidently to speak to you. And he gives us direction in all of our lives. Now, in my other church, I used to counsel, and even I'd counsel my friends. Can you believe that? My friends would come for counseling, and I had one friend that would come in, and he would say, he'd have this real pious look about him, real religious, saying, I just want to get closer to Jesus. And I said, that's really beautiful. That's beautiful. And the next week, or next month, whenever he came, he says, I don't know, Pastor, I just want to be close to Jesus. I just want to see Jesus. I go, that's good, brother. That's good. And then the next month he came in, same thing. I said, I'm not stopping you, okay? I'm not preventing you. He's not preventing you. You can go right in. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. What do you keep telling me this for? Amen? And you say, that's kind of cold, Pastor. Well, sometimes you just have to lay it on the line, you know? I had one other friend, I got a slow my engine down here. I had one other friend that used to come in, and she used to say, I just have a heart for South Africa. I just have a heart for what they're going through and their plight, and I just want to be there. I feel like I should be there. And this happened month after month after month. And finally, you know what I said? Just go there, for crying out loud. What are you talking to me about it? Why don't you do something about it? Don't tell me. And I said, just go there. I didn't think she was going to go there. I mean, that South Africa seems like on the other side of the world. I'm going like, what? Is she really going to go? She went there for 25 years. She made that her missionary project in life. And here's a picture of her right here. Here she is. She's on the right, and she's with the Tiki Hut people there. And she actually got sick eating the food that they were making. And I know, it's kind of sad, but she stayed there. And here's a picture of her with a lion in one of those, happy to be where she's supposed to be, doing the will of God, right? So funny enough, wholly coincidentally, my son came to us and he said, "Dad, Mom, I feel like I should go to South Africa over the summer." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I want to help those kids in the library to learn computers so they can be computer literate." I go, "Why don't you just go downtown to L.A.? You don't have to go all the way to South Africa." He said, "But it'll look good on my resume, and I can get a scholarship from that." I go, okay, but, you know, why don't you hook up with Sandra? But don't eat any of that Tiki Hut food because, you know, it'll hurt you. I said, "Only eat in the family restaurants, you know, the major restaurant." He said, "Okay." So coincidentally enough, here is young youth pastor Charles with Sandra in that same lion camp. And interestingly enough, Sandra, who was here, and she was an evangelist and a missionary, her father was dying, and she called me up and said, "Could you go pray for my dad? I've tried to get him saved, and he just wouldn't." Year after year after year, I go, "Sure, Sandra. You're taking care of my son. I'll go take care of your dad." And in 1.5 hour, I don't know how it was, she planted the seed, and he accepted the Lord. And she was so thankful to me. Every time she spoke, she said, "I want to thank Pastor Chuck for being there, helping me get my father saved. I tried, but I couldn't do it. But for some reason, he talked sports, and he got him to agree with what he was thinking, and he got saved." Amen? So we help each other. In the body of Christ, we help each other. But one person has this gift can help someone else. Now, I heard a story, because I hear what you guys are doing out there, and it's really good. And Leticia had a Good Samaritan story. She was gassing up at ARCO, and she saw this homeless woman that was on this, you know, corner kind of crying. And, you know, she could have just gave her a dollar and brushed her off and just said, you know, "Peace be unto you," and left. But she said, "I'm going to go a little deeper and find out what's really wrong with her." So she went and talked to her, and she hadn't eaten all day. So she knew of a place called Taco King. I don't know if you know about King Taco. They give free food to people that are homeless. So she called up the owner, and he said, "Bring her on down." So they came. She ate. They took her to the library. She figured out how to get a card, a tap card. She found out how to get a bus way to get to her family, and all in one day, just because she took time out of her way, like a good Samaritan, not just passing by and said, you know, "Peace be unto you," but she actually took heart in doing and being what Jesus was to us. So here's my thing. You don't have to talk to people about Jesus. Why don't you just be Jesus? Amen? Amen. So we had another story. If you ever be with Margaret at any length of time, she gets you involved in things that you don't even want to get involved with. I said, "Margaret, what is that to me? You know, what do you want me to do?" She had a friend that the landlord said, "You need to clean up your yard on the side there. It looks ugly. Let's see what it looks like." I mean, it looks terrible. It's got weeds. Can you see it all right? It's got weeds and brush all over, and it's a big, long line. And she says, "Well, I can collect a guy and a couple of the youth, and we can go over there and pull the weeds and make that look good." And I go, "Okay." She said, "Do you know anybody that has bricks or has maybe some black tarp?" I go, "Yeah, I think Richard has some." So we went over to Richard's house and took them from him. And I think he was crying a little bit. He was, "No, I'm just kidding. I'm teasing. All right. So he gave us the black tarp, and he gave us some stepping stones, and she got some wood chips, and look what it looks like now. Whoa! Come on, talk to me. So I was talking to this one friend, and he said, "I don't know what the Lord wants me to do." I go, "What do you like doing?" He says, "I like gardening." So I showed him this picture. I go, "You can do this. You don't have to preach. You can just show the love of Christ. Be Christ to these people. Show them how God cares for them." And he said, okay, I like that. So we don't want to just tell people about Jesus. We want to show them. Now, we have to be a people that jumps into the things of God, not just watching from the outside and wondering what we're supposed to do. We can't be milk, toast, mamby-pamby, half-baked, soggy in the middle Christians. Weak little Christian. Oh, hi, everybody. I'm a Christian. Now, there's different levels of Christianity, isn't there? Do you know them? Well, it's good that you came today. Okay. There's the entry-level Christian. You know, just getting started. When the Bible, when the pastor says, well, turn to Hosea, and they go, where's Hosea? I don't know where Hosea is. That's why they have a table of contents. You learn as you go, right? They say, well, how do you know the Bible so well? You just spend time in it. That's how you learn. You can be an entry, or you can be an occasional Christian. You know, those part-time Christians. You know, they're good in church, but then when they go to work, for some reason, they don't act that way. I'm part-time, you know. I don't do it all the time, you know. But why are you so angry all the time? Why are you jealous? Why do you have unforgiveness in your heart? I'm just part-time. When I want to do it, right? Then you can have the casual, you know. Yeah, I go to church. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I clock in and I clock out and I go every week, but casually, you know, not digging down deep, not serious. Then you have the fair weather. You know the fair weather? When things are going good, I'm there at church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. And when things are going bad, like I ain't going to church. I ain't going to listen to all them people, you know, praising the Lord, shouting and screaming. I don't feel like shouting and screaming. Amen. Well, I'm here to tell you that shouting and screaming will cause you to have victory in your life, cause you for God to work in your behalf. And then you have the hurt Christian. You know the hurt Christian? When someone has hurt them, they can't function. Oh, someone hurt me. Someone talked bad about me. I'm hurt. Get over it. You know what I mean? You got to get over it because people will hurt you every day of your life. I mean, you can be doing good and you go into the store and somebody says, oh, stand over there. What? What did you say? You know, you be doing good, and then somebody just throws a monkey wrench into it. So you can't walk around being hurt. But you have to be determined. You know the determined people? If they don't get their answer right away, they keep on coming, keep on believing, keep on seeking the Lord while it is said today, right? They're going to see things happen no matter what. We got some people here like that. Their answer hasn't come yet, but they're still believing God. And then we have the mature Christians. Hallelujah. That's all of us. Completely, totally perfect and mature. Nothing phases us. Nothing bothers us. Our mouth always speaks wonderful things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Leave me alone. Hallelujah. You know those people that are praising the Lord? God, we love you. We love you. What is she wearing? How did she get? What? Okay. So to get to be closer to Jesus, you know, to illustrate that, you know how people try to get into a pool? Some people, like, walk around the pool deck. Let's see. I'm afraid to get in the water. They just kind of walk around it, contemplating whether they should become a Christian or not. I don't know if I want to be a Christian. I just told you the good news that you can go to heaven, you can have victory here in this life. Yeah, I don't know, but I'm not ready. Not ready? What do you mean not ready? What are you holding on to? You need to just get in the pool, praise God. And then there's some people that just dangle their feet in the water, right? They decide to go in a little bit at a time. Well, I tried to pray. I went to church for a little bit. Things didn't work out. Maybe it's not for me. Then they take their foot back out. Because when the people go and try to get into the pool, you see how they go. It hurts them every step of the way. Oh, it's cold. It's so cold. It's so cold. Oh! And they get up to the waist. Oh, I can't take it. I can't. What do you have to do? Let's see. Just dive in, baby. Come on. The Bible says if you lose your life, you'll gain it. And if you try to hold on to it, you'll lose it. Go in all the way and see what God will do. Amen? Just do what God has called. So you can live life helping like that homeless lady, helping somebody with a bad-looking walkway, help people that you need to pray for. So we want to get closer to Jesus. So we're going to look at here a way that's described in Psalms 83 or 63 on how we can get closer to Jesus. There's six steps that we can use. People like steps, don't they? Yeah, like they say, it's points where you can hang your hat on. Just like, okay, I can do that, I can do that. Now, I want to tell you, when you hear this, you're supposed to do it. Come on, talk to me. All right. That's not just like a good message. Oh, that was good. Yeah, the six steps. Okay, fold your book, and that's it. No, you're supposed to do it. I've been doing it all week, so to me, it's like a refresher course. But Sister Hilda's going to come and read it because I can't read it because I can't get through the whole thing without wanting to talk and talk more about it. So she's going to read the whole thing, and then we'll go through the six steps. See if you can find them, okay?
A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Psalm 63. Oh God, you are my God. Early and earnestly will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with the richest of foods, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by your sword. They shall be a portion for jackals.
Amen.
Very good. All right. That's how you read the Bible. Amen. So I saw you guys, you know, getting excited about some of those verses, and that's the way I get when I start reading. I go like, oh, let me explain that. So I had to let her read it all the way through, and then we can explain it six steps. I gave you little hints because I underlined some of the parts that you're supposed to focus on. So let's look at it. Back to verse 1. Oh, God. Verse 1. Let me know when it comes up. There we go. Oh, God, you are my God. I like that, don't you? Before, hitherto, they always referred to God as the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel. But David said, wait a minute, you're my God. I have made you my personal God. I'm fellowshipping with you in a personal, I speak to you as a man speaks to a friend. I remember my son when he was growing up, little boy, you know, he's very, you know, he discerns things really good, you know, he dissects them. So when he was about 8 or 9, I said, Charles, have you ever experienced the Lord? Have you ever felt him, felt his presence? He goes, well, Dad, you know, I hear you talk about him a lot. And I go to church and I hear the preacher talking about it, talk about him, but I never really met him myself. I said, okay. So the next time we went to church, my wife and I, we prayed. We said, Lord, touch my son. Make yourself known and real to him. Be personal to him. So we're sitting on the front row, and my son, you know, he was pretty squirmy when he was young. One time, this is a side story of the same story, he was on the front row, and we had a long church, you know, to get to the foyer, and so he was acting up, and my wife said, I'm going to spank you, and she grabbed him by the hand and started carrying him out. And he was screaming holy terror. Oh, no, no, don't spank me. Oh, no, I'll be good. Whatever. What are you going to do? Mommy, don't do it. Mommy, don't. And the pastor looked at me in the front row like, can you take care of that? You know, we don't have to have that every Sunday, okay? So we learned, don't spank him until you get him in the back and then tell him I'm going to spank you, right? And you could hear him in the foyer going, oh, no. Okay, so here he is on the front row, and the Lord touches him. And all of a sudden, he's changed. And you can see just his whole disposition. It's like a cloud, a shadow was upon him. And he was hugging Marianne, going, I'm sorry for everything I've done. I'm so sorry. Do you love me? I love you. I'm going, okay, the Lord touched him. Praise the Lord. Amen. So pray that for your kids, that the Lord would touch them. I heard a story with Smith Wigglesworth. He was preaching in a town, and in those days, they would have them sleep in someone's house. And so they slept at this one person's house, and he did there for a week, slept in their bed. And so the wife said, Smith, could you pray for my husband? He's not saved, and I really need the Lord to touch him. You know what he said? He said, just don't change the sheets. Okay, so do you know why? Because the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God, rests in cloth and clothing. And just like Peter, when he was going down the street, they put the handkerchiefs on the people and they got healed. So this man jumped in the bed. And as soon as he got in bed, he jumped out and he got on his knees and said, Father, I'm a sinner. Save me. The Holy Spirit touched him. So you can pray that over your kids when they're going to sleep. Pray it over their pillow. Let the Holy Spirit touch and minister to them. Amen. Because sometimes you can talk until you're blue in the face, and they're not going to change. But the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of David, the God of Israel, and your God can touch your children. Praise the Lord. So it says here, earnestly or early will I seek you. See, if you love the Lord, if you love somebody, as soon as you wake up, you're thinking about him. Amen. Early, earnestly. Let's go to early. I had one friend we just had met, and I said, well, what time do you get up in the morning? He goes, 6 or 6:30, whatever. I go, well, when do you do your devotions? He goes, devotions? I don't do devotions. I go, what do you mean you don't do devotions? He said, I just get up. I go, didn't anybody teach you anything? You're supposed to give your first to the Lord, acknowledge him, and ask him to give you direction in your life. So hopefully it made a difference to him because you want to early and earnestly. So here's the questions. The first question I ask, are you earnestly seeking the Lord or are you just casually, hallelujah, Lord, praise the Lord. You know, to find the Lord, to seek the Lord, David said to his son, if you seek the Lord, he will be found of you. Amen. If you don't seek him, he will forsake you. So it's an effort. If it was so easy, everybody would do it. But it takes some effort. Sometimes it takes day after day, week after week, to earnestly seek him. And it's good to do it first thing in the morning before there's any distraction, before your mind is carrying you in different directions. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. So I was challenged in the morning to ask the Lord for help. Praise the Lord. Now, see, is that something that would describe you earnestly? Early do I seek you with, and what is earnestly? How do you describe that? It's just like everything you got. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord. You're so good. You're wonderful. You're marvelous. You get in the book and you say, you're clothed in light. You're clothed in righteousness. You're clothed in strength. Mighty are you. Mighty are you, my God. And imagine and seeing God up there in heaven watching you, having a personal relationship with you, being pleased with you. Amen. When you do that, you can go and face the day. You don't have any problems because God is with you. Now, I surf the internet. I don't know if you guys do, but you can Christian surf the internet. Did you know that? Does anybody know that? You can look for things that encourage you instead of things that'll drag you down. So I saw this one little bit, and Anthony's going to play it here in a minute, about this girl that said, I want to be a Proverbs 31 woman. I want to be what I'm supposed to be. Because sometimes you have to break the cycle of how you are. You can't just get enough groggy, like, what kind of day is it today? So she had, we can go ahead and play it, Anthony. She had a determination to seek the Lord every day in the morning. Here, can we go to the beginning?
And waking up at 10 a.m.
Go back a little bit more.
I'm embarrassed. So in an attempt to change that.
Can you see it?
Waking up every...
There you go. All right. Here we go.
She manages her time and her money well, and she also wakes up early. And that is where I struggle. So this week, I'm challenging myself to wake up at 5 a.m. every single day for an entire week to try to become more like a Proverbs 31 woman. And this is how it went. So it is Tuesday, December 12th, and I'm getting ready to go to bed because tomorrow I'm starting the challenge of waking up every single day for a week straight at 5 a.m. And you may be wondering, Julia, why are you putting yourself through this? Why are you doing this to yourself? So let me tell you, it's time to change my life. I really hate to admit this, but recently I have been going to bed at like 2 a.m. and waking up at 10 a.m. Yeah, I'm embarrassed. So in an attempt to change that and truly become the essence of what is a Proverbs 31 woman who arises before the sun, I'm going to try to wake up at 5 a.m. every single day for a week straight. So my 5 a.m. alarm is set and I'm going to head to bed so I can actually get some sleep. So before I started this challenge, I knew I need to make some rules for myself because I know how much I hate waking up early, and if I don't have rules, I probably will fail this challenge. So my rules for this challenge include absolutely no snoozing my alarm whatsoever. No matter how tired I am, I'm gonna get out of bed. Number two, I need to get all of my daily chores done. Number three, I want to read my Bible before scrolling on my phone. And number four, I want to keep a positive, thankful mindset throughout the whole thing and not complain about being up early and really just be excited about waking up early every single day. So this is me laying here questioning absolutely every single part of my life and wondering why I'm putting myself through this. But I knew it was time to get up and start my day. One of the main reasons that I did this challenge is because I knew how hard it would be for me to truly deny my flesh and actually get out of bed before the sun rose. Considering how hard this already is on day one, I don't really know what to expect for the rest of the days of the week. However, waking up early this morning actually felt so good, and I got so much more done in my day, and I was super productive with everything that I needed to get done. So all in all, I think I'm ready for day two, and hopefully it won't be as hard tomorrow.
I thought today would be easier, but no, it's a lot harder. The temptation to hit snooze today was very strong, but you overcame, and we didn't, so let's get up.
So it's day.
Well, does that look like you at 5 o'clock in the morning? Amen. So I just showed you that to show you. You got to force yourself. You have to tell your body, get up. Amen. Acknowledge the Lord. And what did she say after the first day? Things were so much better. Her life went so much easier because she put the Lord first and allow him to work in her life. So that's your challenge if you choose to take it, Mission Impossible. Set whatever time that you want and just be watch it be continual, because I didn't go through the whole 5 days, but at the end of 5 days, she felt like a different person because now she's putting the Spirit of the Lord on the inside of us. Praise the Lord. So that's number one. Number two, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. So my question is, are you seeing the power and glory of the Lord in your daily life? Are you seeing the power to change yourself? Are you seeing the power that when you speak words, you change other people's lives? You want to see the power manifested in you and released to others. Amen. Amen. So if you're not seeing that, you got to say, well, wait a minute, I got to get back and see what I can do here. Are they the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is on the inside of you, raising you up and causing you to break strongholds and deal with certain situations in your life, being transformed into the image of Christ? Are you more like Christ today than you were before? I like it when I see people that I haven't seen for a while and they go, oh, I see, oh, you've changed. I can see there's a difference in your life. Praise the Lord. So you have to say, am I just going through life, you know, in a mundane experience, or am I actually seeing power and glory being manifested in me, and the result is touching others? Praise the Lord. So number three, your loving kindness is better than life. Next one. Your loving, now those are two words put together, loving kindness. Loving like the agape way, where God loves us no matter what. He wants us to change, but he loves us even in spite of ourselves. Aren't you glad about that? loving, agape, not considering how we are, but considering who he is. And kindness is he's kind in the midst of loving you. A lot of us are loving to people, but we're not kind to them. We forgive them, but we don't like them. I know God's working on you, but let him work on you over there and not here, all right? Loving kindness can be described as working for someone's welfare that's taxing your patience. Amen? And you have to be, there's a lot of people in this world that can rub you the wrong way. But you can't be, you have to have a God attitude, a God mindset, a God believing, you know, believe the best of every person. Your hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and you endure everything without weakening. That's a godly, mature approach to people. Amen? So because of that, are your lips praising him? Are you worshiping the Lord? Are you saying, I love you, Lord, all throughout the day? You know, one person said, Lord, I didn't do my devotions in the morning. I'm so sorry that I haven't talked to you. And he said, I've been talking to you all day long. You know, he speaks to us all day long. You're not confined to 1 hour in the day in the morning. He wants to fellowship with us all the day long. Praise the Lord. So are you worshiping him, crying out with all of your heart because of what he's done for you and just thanking him for his goodness? Amen. He loves us to thank him and to praise him. Praise him for your family. Praise him for your work. Praise him for your church. Praise him for your pastor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And he says, I'm going to praise him as long as I live, not just a short period of time, but not only as I live, but for eternity. We're going to be praising the Lord all the time, every day. You know, when you get closer to the Lord, you can't help but praise him. In heaven, what do the 24 elders say? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. They don't stop. Because every time they see him and speak to him, he reveals another part of him. So when you're praising the Lord, you receive a new part, a new essence of who the Lord is. Now here we get into some more things. In number 5, my soul shall be satisfied as the richest of foods. Are you satisfied in the Lord? Is he all that you need to be? I know when I was single, hallelujah, a long time ago, 40 years ago, and I said, Lord, if I never meet anybody to marry, I'm going to love you. I'm going to be with you. I want to fall in love with your word. Amen. And I was satisfied. I didn't need anything else. And here it says, by the riches of food. You know when you have a good meal and you're satisfied? Because you never really can be satisfied for that long. You know, the meal only lasts so much and then you get hungry again. But are you satisfied with the Lord completely, fully satisfied? So what I did was, and matter of fact, Mary Ann did the same thing. She said, if I never get married, I'm going to fall in love with you. And I'm going to love you. And so I did that, and I was satisfied. I was completely clear. Funny thing is, I don't know how these things come up in my mind, but so I went to this church, and I said, Lord, I'm just going to focus on you. I'm not going to look at any girls. I'm just going to be all in for you. And so I began to look at girls, not in the natural sense, how they look, their beauty, but their inner self, their inner beauty, and what they had to offer for God. And so I was doing that, and funny enough, these girls thought I was hitting on them. They thought, oh, we like him, we want to be with him. I go, no, I'm not thinking that way. And so I had to readjust, but people think that way when you're nice and kind to them. But I was bound and determined to fall in love with the Word of God, and then the Lord showed me a woman who was filled with the Word of God, and we matched, and that's why we got married 10 weeks after we saw each other, because we just knew, you're following the Lord, I'm following the Lord, I know where we're going, I know you're not going to join a motorcycle club, I know you're not going to be doing crazy things, you're going to fall in love with the Lord, and you're going to do what he calls you to do, praise the Lord. So, are you satisfied in the Lord? You can be satisfied in a lot of things, you know, leisure time, your hobbies, sports, shopping, all these things. They don't really satisfy, but are you satisfied in the Lord? Because if you're satisfied in the Lord, when you get up and you walk through your day, you're completely have the joy of the Lord. You don't say, well, if I don't get that sale, I'm going to be mad. I'm not going to feel good about myself. If your team doesn't win, oh, it's miserable. I can't laugh. This is terrible. Okay. So now the next thing is, do I remember you on my bed? Am I meditating on you in the night. So meditating in the Word of God, that means what you think. You say, well, I can't meditate on the Word all day long. Yes, you can. You're thinking about something. You're thinking about that driver over there, or you're thinking about what someone did to you, or thinking about this or that. Why don't you meditate on the Lord? And you have plenty of time when you're waiting in line at the market, when you're driving, when you're on. I know when I was believing God to overcome cancer, when I was on hold at work, I just kept meditating, quoting the Word of God. There's plenty of little times where you can insert meditating on the Lord. And when you do that, then he manifests it to you, whether it be healing, whether it be love, whatever you're looking for, peace and relationships. You have to just speak the Word of God day and night. Let my meditation be acceptable to you, right? So why do you meditate? It's because you chew on the Word of God and his thoughts become your thoughts. You start becoming like God. Like someone told me when the ladies were here, I was in the back watching Marianne minister with all the beautiful ladies here. And I think Rosie came up to me and said, well, how do you like having all these women here? And I just said, beautiful. It's beautiful to see it. You know, I could have done a little smart aleck remark, but thank God that old man is gone. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Okay, the last one. Am I trusting in him for help? When you get into trouble, when things are not going your way, when people are coming against you, when they're gossiping about you, when they try to hurt you, when they try to sabotage you at work, are you trusting in the Lord for him to help you and deliver you? David did. Saul was coming after him, and he's hiding in the caves. He says, I know you are my strength and my shield, and I will be in the shadow of your wings. Now, how close do you have to get to somebody to be in their shadow? You got to be really close, don't you? You got to be like following him very close. How close do we have to be in the Lord's shadow? Close with him all the time. Don't separate. Don't hang up the phone. Always talking to him. Amen. You'll find joy in your life. So these are six things. Let me read this here. When you really trust God to protect you with ultimate trust, when people mistreat you, when people do certain things that they shouldn't do against you. Anybody have that happen to you? When people align, misalign, slander, and gossip about you, do you try to take matters into your own hands to try to handle certain things in your own way to try to get revenge? Or are you going to trust in the Lord and say, Lord, you are my help. I'm going to cling to you all the days of my life. And those people might be haters, but they have mistreated you. But you have a joy and a peace and a calmness in the Lord. Now, I have gotten myself into trouble a lot, and I don't try to. I just be funny, and people take it the wrong way, and they go to my supervisor and say, you know what? You know what he said? And thank God I have people that love me. I built up a relationship with them. Don't worry about it. He's just kidding. He's just joking with you. And then I've done some things that are really, really wrong. I knew I was wrong, but they came and they defended me. How did that happen? God is my strength and my shield, my buckler in the time of trouble. I can walk around and almost like not have to worry about anything because God is my defense. He will be your defense. So let's look at these now, these six questions. I want you to ask yourself, are you doing these things? Ready? Are you earnestly seeking after God? Don't fool yourself. Be honest. Are you really digging in? Are you really trying to find him? Are you seeking him with all your heart, strength, soul, and might? Are you seeing and experiencing God's power and glory in your life? Do you see and sense the glory of God in your life? Can people say, you know what? There's something about you that really is different. I like your spirit. You know, do you want to be with me or come with me or go out to dinner or something? I just want to touch you, amen? Some people wonder, I don't know why they don't ask me out to parties, you know? Well, that's because you're a party pooper. You know the song, right? Every party needs a pooper, that's why we invited you. Party pooper. I don't know why anybody doesn't like me, because you're not likable, okay? What's the problem? If you want to have friends, be friendly. Say good things about them. You know, when I was younger, when I was a kid, I was like, you know, like a real cute looking kid, and all the people, I mean, I got everything I wanted just because I looked cute, you know. But then as I got older and, you know, things started changing, I wasn't so cute anymore. So I had to learn how to converse with people, how to gain favor. So I got this book called It's Your Personality. I needed a personality. I didn't have one. All I just looked cute, and they go, okay, come on over here. And so you know what the book said to do? Talk about the other person. People, you know what their best topic is? Themselves. They want to hear about themselves. So you ask them, well, how did it go with so-and-so? And what do you think about this? And tell me about that. And they just get so excited. And all you need to do is go, mm-hmm. Yeah, I see it, yeah. Praise God, I see that, yeah. And after you're done, you know what they say? You're just a wonderful conversationalist. I just love to talk to you. Why? Because you're talking about them. This is the trick I wanted to teach you. And I showed it to my son. My son, when I went to go visit him at his prior job, and they had a central lawyer, in-house lawyer, that never talked. He was in his office, and he just gave orders, and he hardly ever talked to anybody. So my son says, let me introduce you to my boss. I go, okay. So I went in there, and I started talking with him. I was in there for a half hour. And I came out, and Charles said, well, what were you doing? I said, it's an old salesman's trick. I looked on his desk to see what pictures he had and what he was doing. He had a son who played football for USC. So I started talking about USC football. And I couldn't stop him from talking. Right? Talk about something that people like. And you'll have a lot of friends. Amen? Okay, number three. Am I worshiping God? All day long. Amen? I worship.